Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I'm your host, Mallory.
And I'm your host, Michael.
And we're here to show you just how weird this world of ours really is. I apologize in advance if we sound a little bit funnier than normal, but we are actually in the car on an adventure for Weird World Adventures, the TV show on Amazon Prime.
What?
We are currently driving from the Gatlinburg side of the Old Smoky Mountains, the Great Smokies, down to the North Carolina side. And, I mean, that'll be a whole other podcast in itself, but I do have to say...
Not what we expected.
Yes.
Not necessarily in a bad way. Some pros, some cons.
Yes.
But nothing that I would have guessed it was like.
It was definitely not what either of us expected. And it's definitely weird, and we'll get to that in a later time. But today, we're going to talk about the Van Gogh experience. We did this a few months ago because it travels the country, and right now it's in our hometown of Richmond, Virginia. And, you know, it was pretty cool. So we're going to start with that. And I guess, Michael, if you want to start it off, I guess maybe tell us a little bit about the Van Gogh experience and how you perceived
well,
it.
Well, I mean, you're probably the better person to give some history to. As a not theater kid, not art background person, I honestly don't know that much about Van Gogh. I mean, there were definitely pictures. I was like, oh, okay, I know that painting. I didn't know, I wouldn't have been able to say it was Van Gogh. But yeah, so it was an experience, not an exhibit.
Yes.
It was, moderately interactive.
Yes, definitely.
Or it wasn't just a bunch of replica paintings, you know, that you look at on a wall, like in a museum. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, you know, the replica part I would have a problem with. I feel like if I'm going to look at art, it better be the original.
Well,
unless there's like a very authentic way it's being
displayed,
but yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I wouldn't go to a museum to see, you know, Etsy reprints on a canvas.
Right.
I can just buy those for my house. Well, first of all, where it was, because it travels, it's just like in, it takes up a lot of space. It's just like in some, like, where? I mean, I guess it's a building that was kind of meant for traveling exhibits that I didn't know was right there next to us in our hometown.
Yes.
But it was definitely, the building itself in Richmond was very nondescript.
Right.
We were not sure where, like, it was not well advertised from the street. It was well advertised online, which is how we found it, but not just driving past. You would never know.
Yeah, it was awkwardly, like, right next to Mellow Mushroom.
Yeah. Which was fully lit up and advertised from the street.
Yes.
And this was just in, like, a giant warehouse-like building, but the entrance was, you'd have to drive off the road, because, you know, the entrance was on the backside of it.
Yes.
And there was nothing indicating what was inside of it.
Exactly. It was very interesting. And I will say, too, something I thought was funny. I'm pretty sure I brought up that Van Gogh was the one that cut off his ear. And I don't even think you knew that much. I think you were like, oh, that was him. It didn't come to your mind right away. Like, it came to my mind.
Yeah, it didn't come to my mind. I mean, that's embarrassing. Because everybody knows that, right?
Yes, I sure
I did know that in retrospect. But, yeah. Honestly, if you'd asked me in the car driving there or at some other time, like, which was the famous painter that cut off his own ear, maybe I would have come up with Van Gogh. I'm not sure. On a good day, yes. It would have been, I would have had it in, like, you know, I knew it wouldn't be Picasso, but I would have been like, I don't know, is it Monet or what's the other M famous?
Manet.
Yeah, Van Gogh. I probably would have gotten it within, like, three.
Yeah.
I'm an uncultured troglodyte, so.
What I thought was very interesting about that specifically was that you hear in art classes in school, I mean, like in elementary school, you learn about Van Gogh, right? There's a few painters you learn about in art class in elementary mm-hmm. school. It's like Picasso, Van Gogh. You know, there's a very few.
Sure. The name I know. I don't know if I would have necessarily come up with that out of the lineup.
Yes. Ooh. But I will say that that's the story that we were fed, like, early ages, right? Oh, he cut off his ear and gave it to a girl. Mm-hmm. Well, what I thought was interesting was when we were at the exhibit and they talked about that, and him cutting off his ear. Mm-hmm. And he actually cut off his ear and sent it to a brothel. I don't even think it was to a specific, like, core.
Whoever's working tonight, they're all good. They're all fine.
I mean, but he...
I've definitely visited all of them.
If it was a specific girl, it was a prostitute. Yeah. But it was definitely to the brothel. Like, he sent his ear to the brothel, which was not the story they tell you in elementary school or middle school. I feel like I took art history, and that was the first time I learned that he sent the ear to a brothel.
Oh, no, they told me all about that in third grade.
Oh, did they?
You're just like, oh, yeah, he frequently liked to dabble with whores.
So that added an extra...
It's an extra element. Level of yes. Insanity, because it's, obviously, well, first of all, I don't want to spoil what you're getting for Christmas, but it's crazy to send an ear to a girl.
Oh, that would be great. That can add it to my cabinet of curiosities.
Yeah. Well, but it's crazy enough to send it.
Yes.
First of all, why would that be desirable? Well, you're a freak. I guess you would want it. But why would a normal girl want your ear? What am I supposed to do with this?
This
is going to rot and, like, be of no value to me, and it's really gross, and why the fuck would I want this?
I think he was quite troubled. It sounds like he had a lot of stints in and out of drug and alcohol abuse. There was a lot more going on there that I think when your brain is so drug addled, that might sound more appealing to you than it would if you're sober.
I'm no expert, but I agree. I think you can commonly say if somebody cuts the ear off, sends it in a box to a girl, they're probably troubled. That would probably be an adjective that you could confidently use.
And the exhibit did have some of the history in you know, in relation to what we're talking about with that here now.
And a lot of this. I mean,
it
was a lot.
And a lot of it was him being troubled. And specifically at a part, there was a part where it said he committed himself.
I did not know that. It was interesting.
Yes. So he committed himself to an institution for quite a while. And it was something that he did, I think, to, like, have a place to stay and cut off all responsibility and just paint. And he did a lot of very good works of art from the institution.
Yeah. Some of his famous stuff was from the institution, right?
I think so.
It's a little odd, though. I mean, obviously it was trouble. He cut off his ear. Nothing to bait that movie.
Right.
But be like, well, I'm going to institutionalize myself and then paint. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound that bad to me. Like, you tell me, like, I can just, you know, abrogate all my responsibility. Like, I'm going to institutionalize myself and do my favorite activity.
It sounds like, I believe there might have been times where he just couldn't afford to live. So it's like, well, this will give me... Well, no responsibilities and food and somewhere to stay, right? I mean, definitely, he definitely fought through poverty many times. So I think that might have also been part of it, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, not all those painters were rich.
Not until after they died.
I know
you're making it.
The starving artist.
I know. But it is unfortunate he became one of the most famous...
I married one of those.
...painters. Wow. He became one of the most famous painters of all time after he died, like most
of
them.
That's the norm, right?
It is. It really is.
It's not a good career option, kids.
And the thing that was, I think, notably cool right away is that when you go into the whole, you know, exhibit, there's several, like, faces and 3D pieces. There was one that was his face, right? And there's one that was like a vase. Where they shined works of art and things on it to make it, like, strangely three-dimensional.
There were a few different ones. There was, like, a sculpture-y thing. Mm-hmm. But then they used, like, lighting effects to make a moving, like, facial expressions across, like, a giant Van Gogh, like, sculpted face, right?
Yes.
So it looked like it was changing emotions.
Yes.
Like it was dynamic.
It was pretty cool.
And then there was one that, like, the piece of art was a Van Gogh piece. I think it was one of his Japanese works. that they had, like, printed on, like, three-dimensional material and layered. It was, like, hanging. So if you looked at it from the front, it looked, like, 3D, but as one piece. And then if you, like, move off to the angle of it, like, slid out. The pieces were not lined up, like, lined up in depth with each other.
Yeah, it was very cool. I mean, like, they played with art and with, like, 3D pieces and strange lighting and, like, the dimensionality of all of these things. So it was very cool how they kind of put all of it together to make it an experience. And this is just in the first few rooms where you're kind of walking through and learning about him. And then they had...
Yeah, it's also, like, these go with, like, kind of, like, the history of the time. He had, like, really distinct, like, periods, right? There was, like, the sunflower. He was very, very obsessed with sunflowers for a little while.
Yes.
And then he had, like, his Japanese period because he... I guess I didn't read closely enough. Didn't take notes.
But he
met somebody. Like, he like, was influenced by Japanese art.
Yes.
Despite not actually going to Japan. I do remember reading that. Which I guess would have been a pretty big trip at the time. It's big, kind of a big trip now.
Yes. And it was very... I didn't know that about him. And they were some of his most beautiful works. Were, like,
yeah, they're great.
The Japanese stuff. Yeah, it was great. And then they had... You moved on to a section where they had, like, replications of his paintings, and then there was another section where they had, like, a three-dimensional stage, effectively, set up of one of his paintings.
Yeah, it's one of the ones that even I recognized, although I would not have been able to tell you. Ahead of time. It was, like, the room that he lived in.
Yes.
And you could go up in the room.
Yes, it was very cool. That was, like, a good photo op space. It was very neat. And it was painted... in a way to look like, you know, the impressionalism that Van Gogh did. It was very interesting.
And he was colorblind? Did I read that correctly?
I think so. He was colorblind, which might explain some of, like, the impressionalistic stuff.
A very distinct...
Definitely.
...impressionalist way of painting. Like, different color choices.
Yes. It was very neat. And then the actual experience itself, which I guess I didn't realize. I don't think I fully knew what to expect when we were going.
We knew nothing. I don't think we knew anything about it.
We knew,
and then,
like,
it was in a warehouse, a nondescript warehouse. We're like, what is that?
Yes.
It was very cool on the inside. I don't mean to shade it.
No, it was very cool.
Cachet at it from the outside. That was just an artifact of having to move around, and that was where Richmond put it. But
yes.
Once you're inside, it is a fully fleshed out exhibit. Yes.
It was very cool. It was, they're just, you know, the marketing shows pictures, but it doesn't exactly show you what it's going to be. And, like, the main part of the experience, which I didn't even realize because we sat in for a long time to, like, watch it. And then once we left, we were just outside. So it was like, oh, okay, well, that was it.
We watched, yeah, I guess you can tell what it is.
It's basically like you sit in these chairs and in a room that,
it's a,
you know,
giant room.
It's a giant room. They have space for everyone to just sit in these chairs, and then they project his paintings on the wall, on all four walls.
And they're dynamic.
Yes.
The paintings are kind of moving.
Yes.
And it's the seating is kind of on the periphery and with people looking in.
Yes.
Like, so you're kind of looking at different walls.
Yes.
And the walls have all his paintings projected on them with some dynamic motion in them. And it takes you through all of his time periods.
Yes.
You just walked in at a certain one. We sat in there until we got back to where we happened to come in at the time.
Yes, it was very...
It took a while.
It was,
yeah, I mean, at least 40 minutes, probably. 30, 40 minutes to get through all of his...
Definitely. Minutes? I think you're right. About 30, 40. And it was very well done as far as, like, being... very different from one another.
It had a light music, like light background music. It was very peaceful.
Yes.
It had mats you could almost like meditate on if you, I guess, wanted to.
I mean, it would be fun. And then, like, you know, we started when Starry Night was on. So, okay, we'll stay till Starry Night comes back. You know, that's the one that everybody knows. But
that's a good one.
There were times where they, like, just had the paintings across all of the walls. And then there was times where they had it displayed, like, in different frames. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very creative in the way that it varied. And it's definitely, it's worth it for what you pay to get to kind of sit and enjoy and just see it, because it's so vastly different than what I would, you know, go to see normally in any type of, you know, artistic exhibit. It was very unique and creative and immersive, and I give them props for, I guess, coming up with that idea.
It's a good idea.
It is.
Being able to interact with it made it more interesting, as I said, as a self-described tasteless troglodyte, mm-hmm. not in the art world, it made it interesting to me.
And then the gift display area with all the gift shop.
Good gift shop.
It had a good gift shop, definitely. And it had so many things we wanted, and I wound up getting the skeleton. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Icon, the skeleton smoking.
Well, that painting I specifically knew because it's frequently, I don't know, frequently is not the right word, but I've seen it multiple times in medicine, you know, through medical education. It's used, you know, as an artsy way to do medical textbook. You know, here's a artsy picture on my medical textbook. And it's,
well,
I've seen it.
Well,
if you put
Van Gogh on your textbook, then it makes it way more sophisticated.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Look, we're cultured.
Right.
Cultured doctors
right.
here.
Definitely. Definitely.
But I've also seen it used in cancer campaigns, like cancer funding campaigns.
Okay.
Well, I mean, because it's a skeleton smoking.
Right, right. That checks out.
It's almost its own ad for
right.
Don't smoke.
Good call. That makes sense.
But I honestly wouldn't have put Van Gogh to that. I wouldn't have known that was his painting. The painting I immediately recognized, I knew it was a famous painting. I would have said, well, it's from one of the famous guys, but I wouldn't have.
I had no idea.
Van Gogh.
I'd never seen
Monet,
it before.
Manet. That's my list. That's the extent of
Picasso,
my people.
Michael?
Well, no, Picasso does the weird ones. I know his stuff.
Okay. Well, you know who my favorite artist is, right?
You like the ballerina guy.
You don't remember his name?
It's not Dolly. It's I can see Dolly. I can add him to my list. I like the melting clocks.
Yeah, they're good.
It's a good one. I'm blanky. I know you just told me.
I did. Edgar Degas.
Degas. Yeah, I had the D, right?
He painted all of the ballerinas at the Paris Opera. And has a wing inside the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts in Richmond, where it's like a collection of his horses.
I was going to say, is that also the horse wing that...
Horse wing?
It's my... I only like Degas' horses.
But like,
his horse period. Is
I don't think... I never knew he painted or sketched horses. No one did, because he's known for ballerinas.
Well, I certainly did.
And then you go to the VMA and you're like, well, this is a choice. So pedestrian, they put them in the art museum in the Capitol? The DC Art Museum, the Smithsonian?
That's just for the plebs like you. Us cultured folk know the horses. The Degas horses are where he truly... expressed himself.
You just sound like Ken when you said that, just so you know.
Well, they are male extenders. They're man extenders.
Right. That I did learn that. That is a valid point. Anyway. I didn't know that was a Van Gogh.
Derailed the conversation here.
I did not know that was a Van Gogh.
Me either.
And then we found out, I had never seen it before, but
well,
it was very
you
cool.
You bought the skirt?
The dress.
Is that what they're
it
called?
It was a dress. Is that what it's called? A dress? A dress.
And then appropriately wore it on the Vegas trip, which
did.
We already talked about.
I wore it to PsyCon on the first day, and I was so proud because they also like weird stuff at PsyCon.
Yeah.
My weird peoples. But yeah, it was definitely a very cool exhibit. It travels around, so make sure you check out when it comes to your area. And definitely check out the gift shop, because it's pretty...
It was very reasonable.
Yes.
For also being fine arts type items, which
yes.
I just assume will have a, you know, appropriately
priced
premium attached to them.
Okay. We are driving, like I mentioned, through the Smokies, and I will say...
And quickly realizing why they are called the Smokies here, as it drizzles at night.
So if you hear my windshield wipers, I'm sorry, that's why. But also, just the fact that it's so foggy. Every episode we have ever filmed of Weird World Adventures winds up having us just completely covered in fog. Like, there's been so many adventures where fog has been the theme. And specifically the first one was when we were driving to the Winchester Mystery House. It was so foggy that morning that I couldn't see 3 feet in front of me. And, you know, I put my flashers on and I was, like, terrified that someone was going to hit me or I was going to hit someone because you can't see anything on the road. Mm. And that was terrifying. And then when we went to the Land of Oz Park, it was all just fog.
Makes for great TV. Check out season one.
Check out season one. There's tons of fog.
There's more than just fog.
The mists of Barovia. That's what I call foggy situations now.
Such a nerd.
I know. It's my Dungeons and Dragons nerdiness. But yes, I guess this is why they call it the Great Smoky Mountains, because it's just all fog.
Yeah.
Misting the top.
It's appropriately named.
Yes. It was pretty throughout the day, but now we're getting that fog.
Yeah, we'll say today was gorgeous.
It was.
For mid-December, it was probably mid-50s for the hiking, just sunny and beautiful.
Yeah, warmer than Virginia.
It was warmer than Virginia.
It was, I mean, it's definitely just been warmer than it has been in Virginia. And it was nice. It's only when cars pass me that I get really like, ah. Anyway, that's another total derailment. I guess what we were trying to say is you guys should check out the Van Gogh exhibit, the Van Gogh Experience, which is traveling the U.S. right now. So make sure you look out for when it comes to your hometown. Anything else to say about it, Michael?
That was worth it.
Definitely. Definitely
great
worth
gift
it.
Shop.
He's not an art person, and he had a wonderful time and appreciated it thoroughly. Although, I think you're better at art than you think you are.
Well, I do like those Degas horses.
But you are like, good at sketching and drawing, and you're good at your photography. Some artistic stuff going on.
I'm not saying I don't like art. And there's types of art that I think I'm at least moderately decent at. I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I'm not an art, not like, I don't know anything about art history.
That's a different thing, though.
I don't know about the famous artists. I know the paintings and stuff that I like. I don't know, I kind of like that with music, too. I enjoy a wide range of music and make you listen to a lot of my music.
Yes.
And I know the songs, and I'll know, like, the whole song and kind of sing it. But if you ask me, like, who sung it, probably not going to be able to tell you that. I don't know.
I mean,
it's just not a part of my brain that I don't catalog the artists as the piece of art.
It's very different, though, to pass an art history class than it is to be good at art, though. It's like a different skill set. So I don't put them in the same sphere at all, basically.
I mean, that's fair. It's the kind of skill set that I'm generally good at, though. Memorize some bullshit and regurgitate it. I guess it's just not, the art history is not interesting to me, so I've never felt any need to actually memorize it.
I took 3 art history classes in school that I had to take, and I don't know if I could ever tell you or regurgitate anything from it now, but it was just regurgitating. That's really just what art history is reading and regurgitating.
Yes.
Yep.
Which is not the most fun, even on a topic you care about. So as somebody who kind of didn't care about, like I said, the artists themselves were just less interesting to me than the works of art. I don't know what
that makes sense.
Me, but
I can see that. But
I mean, I'm a huge, all my background was science, and it's not like I enjoyed memorizing the science facts either. It's just something you have to do, I guess, if it's going to be something you are actively utilizing in life.
Memorization is hard for me, too. It just seems like, I don't know what the right word is, but it's not fun, like you said. And it because you are forced to do it, it's like, I don't know, I hate doing it. It feels forced, and I do it begrudgingly. I was very good at memorizing, but I do it begrudgingly. And it's different, like, memorizing facts and pieces of art than it is memorizing a full play, for instance. If something is interactive, and I'm very kinesthetic, like, as a learner, so if something is interactive, I'm better at it. So I had no problem memorizing scripts and plays, but every problem in the world memorizing, like, facts.
Well, I guess you're not going to be on my trivia team.
I actually came to the rescue on your trivia teams quite a bit.
True, that's true.
I knew that Papua New Guinea, and there were several good ones that I thought.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's
right.
True. Just a very specific skill set.
All right.
Anyway, I guess that's all we have for you today. We've derailed quite a bit. Thank you guys for tuning in to Weird World Adventures, the podcast. Be sure to follow us on the daily at mallorysadventures.com. Follow us on Instagram at mallorysadventures, on TikTok at mallorymackie, and be sure to watch Weird World Adventures on Amazon Prime now. Thank you for joining me, Michael.
Thank you.
Love having you as a host with me. And until next time, everybody, stay weird.